Positive Chats podcast on for Wednesday, August 17th. Excited today to catch up with Jeannie Stevens. She's a big old deal. She's the founding and co-lead pastor of Soul City Church in Chicago, one of America's fastest growing urban churches. Pastoral staff of Willow Creek Community Church and North Point Community Church. She's a speaker. She's a leader. She's a writer. She's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Jeannie, you know what? You're just a busy, busy bee, aren't you?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, thank you for being on. Your book is called What's Here Now? And there's so much about how to stop rehashing your past, stop rehearsing your future, and start receiving your presence. How do you do that when you're pre-planning everything?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the place where we're invited to live is where our feet are planted. And yet so many of us, we struggle to be in the here and the now. But yet, isn't it funny that growing up as kids, you know, when teachers would take attendance in class, we would answer when our name was called by saying here, present. And probably most teachers would say, yeah, maybe your body was present, but not all of you was present. And I think a lot of the reason is because we're so conditioned to rehash the past or rehearse the future in our mind. We're able to, you know, go places in our thoughts that perhaps our body is not in. And we struggle with being in the here and the now. And yet I like to tell people, if it's not happening now, it's not happening. And yet so many of us, we're living in our not happenings instead of our now moment. And the place where God is always in the now. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the only place to actually experience the presence of God is in this now moment. And yet so many of us struggle to actually live here.
You know, to be fair, it seems like all of us live in this bubble. You know, so say, for instance, 4th of July, we start seeing like Halloween stuff, and then we start seeing the holidays months in advance. We're programmed, we're wired to think forward. How do you slow that down and to live in the present?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that both the past and the future are places for us to look to. You know, the past is a great place to learn from, but it's a terrible place to live. And the future is a great place to hope for, but it's an impossible place to live in. As I mentioned, the present is where God lives, and it's where God invites us to live. And it doesn't mean that we don't have a good, thoughtful, understanding of the patterns in our past. I'm an advocate for encouraging people to dig in the dirt of their story, to pay attention to what happened yesterday and 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, so that we don't repeat those patterns. And I'm an advocate for healthy and thoughtful planning around the future. It's just that so often those are the only places that we're choosing to live in our mind, and we're missing out on the here and the now. And, you know, we don't think ourselves into new ways of living. We have to live ourselves into new ways of thinking. And so we have to learn how to actually think in the here and the now. Not just think in the past and not just thinking about the future, but to think in this here moment. And thinking about the past and the future are ways we contemplate life, but it's actually an ineffective way to transform your life. And so if we really want to experience transformation, we have to really pause and pay attention to what's here now. And the reason that I chose that question as the title of the book is because that's the question that I started asking myself. I started realizing that I had regular patterns of exhaustion and burnout, that I was, you know, kind of always living somewhere else in my mind and not really here in this now moment. And a good friend and mentor, spiritual director in my life, gave me this question as a gift to say, you know, Jeannie, I don't think you're really here. I think that you're everywhere but here. And so he offered me this question, and I just started answering it. And my commitment was, every time that I sensed that I was not in the here and the now, I would pause, I would breathe, and I would ask myself, okay, what's here now? What am I sensing in my body? What am I feeling in my heart? And what am I thinking in my mind? And, you know, sensing and feeling and thinking, anyone can do it at any time. And it's a way to bring us back into this now moment. I can pay attention and go, okay, what's going on in my body here? Okay, I got a good night's sleep. I'm energized. I'm excited about this conversation. I'm grounded in this now moment in my body. What am I feeling in my heart? I'm processing through some feelings of excitement. My kids went back to school yesterday and I'm excited for them. And I'm feeling some sadness over some transitions that I'm walking through. And so I just pay attention to that sadness. What am I thinking in my mind? I'm thinking about my schedule today, and I'm thinking about the things that I need to get done and some people that I need to connect with. And so, you know, I pull myself back into this now moment so that I'm not so far out in the future and I'm not so far in the past. And instead, I get to be in this now moment, which is always where God is.
We're on with Jeannie Stevens. Huge thank you to you, Jeannie, for spending a few minutes with us today. She is the founding and co-lead pastor of Soul City Church in Chicago. And the new book, it's out now. It's called What's Here Now. Jeannie, it's cool because you just gave some examples a second ago that kind of bake into the book. Was it tricky?
I think that people are hungry for being seen and being known. And the only way that we can really be seen and known is if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, if we allow ourselves to really show up with who we truly are. And so I felt like I didn't want to give a, whitewashed, story of my life. I wanted to give the truth of who I am and how I struggle just like everybody else in the here, in the now, to be present. And, you know, for me, as I was walking this journey, and the truth is I'm still walking this journey. Presence is something that we practice for the rest of our lives. It's not something that we check the box and, you know, it's done and over. Now I'm present. We have to practice this on the regular. But what I started realizing is that there were some signs to point in my life to how I was rehashing the past. I noticed if blame was showing up in my life, which is just, you know, directing personal responsibility to someone or something else. If shame was there, which is self-hatred at my expense. If grief, unprocessed grief, which is just a deep sorrow from a loss that was in the past, but it's changing your present. Maybe bitterness, which is a grudge that has a hold on your heart, and there's some unforgiveness there, or guilt, that silent suffering from mistakes made. Those were the signs that I was rehashing the past. And then there were signs for the future, right? Worry is a big one. And worry's just living in a not yet that's worse than your now. Anytime worry showed up in my life, I realized, oh, I'm not in the here and the now. I'm rehearsing something out in the future. Denial, pretending, obligation, believing that you don't have choices and you have to say yes to should. Things like control. All of those were signs that I was rehearsing the future. And I had to learn how to come back into this now moment. And the way that we do that is through paying attention to our emotions, our thoughts, our body, practicing gratitude, and really belonging to ourselves, to God, and to one another.
You know what? That's interesting because you talked often about being in the here and the now. I guess one of the questions that I have, because I pre-plan everything. My whole life is planned out. I think a lot of us are that way, where we plan ahead. What's the difference between being in the moment and pre-planning?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of wisdom in healthy planning. I think the question is, are you planning that from the present, or are you planning that to try to change your present? Many of us, we come up with these, big, audacious plans, and it's a way to avoid what's going on in the here and the now. Mm. And so I really try to help people plan for the future in a thoughtful way, from what is occurring in the here and the now, from the present location. I think that the present is one of the great teachers to us about what we can look towards the future to be like. But it's when we avoid the present. You know, if we're making all kinds of plans out in the future as a way to avoid maybe some of our unprocessed grief, you know, that's something where we rehash the past, or there's some blame that we're carrying around, and we make all these plans about the future, but we don't pay attention to facing those things in our lives, those plans are going to have a really hard time coming to fruition because we're continuing to avoid. And what we cannot face, we cannot change. And the only place where we can face what's really going on in our lives is in the here and the now.
You mentioned the cycle of works versus the cycle of grace in the book. Is that connected or is that different?
Yeah, I would say that it's very connected. You know, when we are walking through a cycle of grace, we really come at life from a posture of acceptance, that we're accepted from God. We can have acceptance of ourselves with you know, what we're experiencing, and we can do good, healthy soul work from that place. But when we're coming from a posture of works, we're showing up with achievement, right? As the driver, and we're letting that be what moves us through life. And so I think when we can show up with a posture of acceptance and wholeness versus a posture of achievement and striving, it's a very different way to plan towards the future.
You mentioned shame. It's almost like Chris Farley in SNL. It's like, that was dumb, stupid, stupid. You know, and we spent our whole lives that way. How do we let ourselves off the hook?
Yeah, you know, I just mentioned that shame. I like to describe it as self-hatred at my expense, which if you spell out shame, S-H-A-M-E, it spells self-hatred at my expense. And shame is really what leads us to cover up who we are. It's that pressure and that burden that we put on ourselves and on one another to look as though we're okay, even though we don't feel okay. And we become, you know, these personal advertisers with devoted marketing plans to hide anything and everything that we're ashamed of. But yet, the way that we actually address shame in our life is by letting it experience oxygen, letting it breathe, letting it come out into the light. And so I would say to anybody that's struggling with shame, to start to get curious, to do some healthy noticing. Where is that shame showing up in your life? To pay attention to the places where you tend to hide. And then to find some safe and loving community where you can begin to share your story. You know, Brené Brown says that if we can share our story with someone who responds with empathy and understanding, shame can't survive. And I like to tell people that the danger of isolation is much greater than the risk of intimacy. So many of us, we isolate in our shame. And actually what our shame needs is the gift of community and being seen and being known and experiencing empathy from another person.
We're on with Jeannie Stevens, and the new book is called What's Here Now. It feels like there almost has to learn to be a bit of a balance as we get more familiar with using the steps and putting the steps in practice. There can almost feel like you're almost become an actor because you almost put yourself between going through the motions and being authentic. How do we know when we become authentic and not just going through it?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I'll just show up for my own life and my own story. You know, yesterday I got an email with some information that was really challenging, and I found myself just mulling it over in my mind all evening. I almost felt like all I was doing was rehashing the past, like where did this come from? And I was rehearsing the future, and I actually wasn't fully present. And, you know, I kind of went to bed last night, and my last thought was, God, will you just be with me as I sleep and as I rest and as I'm quiet? And this morning I got up real early and just sat and was still and decided to walk through the steps. Okay, what's here now? And just paid attention to what was I feeling in my body? What was I experiencing in my heart, what was going on in my thoughts. And I sat in that quiet and just authentically allowed myself to name those things with God and myself. I paused to breathe. I paused to just be in what is instead of trying to fix what was or, you know, do all kinds of things to change all of the what ifs that I'm not sure of what they're going to be. And I chose to just be with God. And I was reminded in that moment that God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. And that I could just sit with the ever-present presence of God in that moment. And it didn't need to make me go back to the past. And it didn't make me need to go out into the future. I could just sit in loving trust that God was with me, God was for me, and God is going to guide me in what to do. And, you know, that sitting in the present moment really helped me then put together, okay, here are the steps of what I think I need to do today about that email and about that, that challenge that I was faced with yesterday, as I was leaving work. And I think for me, what it did was it helped me choose trust over suspicion. It helped me choose wisdom over foolishness. It helped me, choose a posture of I'm going to operate from this present location instead of operating from trying to control the things that I don't know how they're going to go. And I stepped into my day with a posture of peace. You know, peace that passes understanding is not from getting understanding. You know, I didn't automatically get understanding over that situation that I was struggling with and still struggling with. But what I received this morning by practicing presence was the gift of peace. And I think that's what so many of us are hungry for. And that peace is now going to hopefully guide and direct me in the decisions that I make as a leader. And it's because I chose to pause and to be still and to practice being present.
There's a lot of discipline in this. There's a little bit of discipline in this. The book is called What's Here Now, and we are on now with author Jeannie Stevens. Jeannie, thank you for spending some time with us. Now, how do we get a copy of the book?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. If you want to interact with me, you can always find me on any of the social channels at Jeannie Stevens, or you can go to my website, jeanniestevens.com, and the book is sold anywhere. So you can get it anywhere from Amazon to Target to Walmart to your local bookstore. I hope that it is a gift and a blessing to anyone that's listening with us today.
Well, I think one thing about it, you challenged all of us.
So Jeannie, anyone can do this. Anyone can do this. It's so simple.
Good. Jeannie Stevens, thank you so much again for spending time with us today. Be safe in Chicago. Co-lead pastor again at Soul City Church in Chicago, one of America's fastest growing urban churches. Again, just so we'll kind of drive this point home, we know about the book. One last time, finding you online, where do we go?
Yes. The book is called What's Here Now? How to Stop Rehashing the Past, Rehearsing the Future, and Start Receiving the Present. You can find me at jeanniestevens.com, and you can get the book any place where books are sold.